Here we are in Judges chapter 16, and I want to begin at verse 5. Judges chapter 16, and I want to begin at verse 5. We started off on last Sunday, and we were talking about Samson, and we were looking at Samson, and we've been looking and dealing with our series, dealing with Thirsty for Love. One of the things that we realized by studying Samson is that Samson had an assignment over his life. So if you realize that each and every one of you, the reason that you are here, the reason why you are breathing, the reason why God has brought you this far is because you have an assignment. I need you to all understand, the moment you fulfill your assignment, there's no reason for you to be on earth another day. I have an assignment, you have an assignment. We are all walking toward our assignment. Now, the moment I fulfill and finish my assignment, I'm done. I'm done. So there is no guarantee that each and every one of us will see 90 years old. There's no guarantee that you'll meet 90 years old. I also want this to be clear. If you fulfill your assignment, life has no more meaning after that. You'll get to your point where you ask yourself a question. Why am I here? I've done everything that I need to do. I gave the example. If you finished your meal, if you finished your plate, why stay at the table another hour? You know what you'll end up doing? You'll end up trying to find another purpose, because there's no reason to stay at the table another hour after you finish your what? After you finish your meal. Matter of fact, somebody explained to me, if you do this, somebody give me a time that you get off work. Somebody just shoot out a time. What time you get off work? 6 o'clock. At 6:30, sis, where are you? How many of you, 30 minutes after work, you just kind of chilling in the hallway? Just kind of. you talking to somebody in the parking lot. What happens 5 minutes after work? You're on the freeway. When I used to work in Irving, this is when I first moved to Dallas. Brand new, first moved to Dallas. We got off at 5. It was 4:50. it was 4:50. And you could tell, even if you were so busy working, you didn't have an opportunity to really look at the clock. At 4:50, you can feel the office shifting. My supervisor was putting stuff in his bag. And everybody, the phone was ringing. And nobody was answering the phone, especially at 4:55. They was like, no, you're just going to have to catch us. And in our mind, we said, hey, they close at 5. I'm going to catch them right before. Mm-mm, you weren't going to catch nobody in that office. And if you were, you were brand new. So I'm answering the phone at 4:57, and it, rookie. I remember it being 5:05 or something like that. Or 5:01 or something like that. And I was doing something, and everybody was shooting out the door. Like, I don't think they were running, but it was a brisk walk. I remember my supervisor looking at me, he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I have a few more cases that I need to wrap up and finish so that I don't have to deal with this tomorrow. He said, what are you doing? He said, work is gonna be here. He said, and it's the first time I ever heard it put like this. He said, man, there's a thing called quality of life. He said, hey, it's 5 o'clock. We're done. You're not getting paid. We only pay you till 5 o'clock. Anything you do extra, that's on you. Go live your quality of life. And I ended up walking out with him, I said, you know what, that's a good point. Why would God keep you in this wicked world an extra year? For what? Has there ever been a year you haven't cried? You've cried every year of your life. Why in the world Would you want to go another year dealing with heartbreak and pain and tragedy and sorrow and crazy winter, summer, springs? That only happens in Texas, winter, summer, spring, all in the same day. Why would you want to experience that? So notice, when you fulfill your purpose, Samson had a purpose over his life. But one of the problems that we see is he was pursuing love. And in his pursuit of love, it ended up hurting his purpose. It ended up hurting his assignment. What if, in you being in tune with what God has for you, it caused you to walk away from some people? You know what you end up doing? Many of us, we end up holding on to people and forsaking our purpose. What if God has called you to the Philippines? You ready to go? If the Lord came down right now and said, listen, I got a spiritual bus outside, and I'm calling all of you, and I want you to do work for me in the Philippines. Let's go. We leave in the night. You know what you would want to say to God? Listen, I got some stuff that because God, I had an appointment next week. We say we follow God, but you only follow God if what you want is on the same road. And what you don't realize is to follow God, you'll get everything that you don't even know to ask for. See, sometimes whatever you're exposed to is what you pray for. So because God's exposure is greater than yours, sometimes your prayer is beneath his ability, right? So that's like a little child coming to you and say, hey, listen, I don't know if you can do it. I know I'm asking a lot from you. I don't know if you can do it, but, you know, if you got like 2 pennies, then I'll be really appreciative. I don't want to stretch you. You know, I don't want to stretch you too much. But if you got 2 pennies, man, I really appreciate it. And you saying, I can give you a dollar. But because your exposure is only 2 pennies, that's how your prayers sometimes go to God. God, I don't know if you can do it, but if you can bless me with some metal. I mean, if you bless me with a car. I mean, I don't know, God, if you could put some wood together and let me have a house. Asking God for some trees and some nails? Was that big? Was that a big prayer? What's a big prayer to God? Somebody tell me. What's a big prayer to God? You know what? We don't even think on that level. But the moment when we get in some trouble, we have a hard time praying because we think it's big, because it's big to you. And so we say we will follow God. We say we will follow Christ. But when you hear his voice, do you let go? And do you pick up your cross and follow him? Sometimes our agenda and what we want is greater than the call that he has for us. And the reason why we don't receive the blessings or receive the things that God wants from us, because God already looks at you and looks at your heart and says, there's no point of calling your name because you won't come in the first place. And I got to negotiate with you. I got to compromise with you. I got to work with you. I got to fight with you just for you to follow me. That's just too much work. When you're trying to get some work done, my life is God's work. My life is God's work. I heard a great example. There was a gentleman one time, I was reading a book, and the gentleman was talking about his friend who went to college. And his friend who went to college, he was at the end of the semester, he had to do his paper. So he did his research, he stayed up nights, he was exhausted, he was tired, but he got his paper done. After he got his paper done, he submitted it to the professor. The professor graded the paper, and when the professor graded the paper, this is what he wrote. He said, great research, great bibliography, wonderful points, awesome structure, wrong assignment, F. He said, wait a minute, I did the research. Yes, you did. I cited my sources. Yes, you did. I put the whole thought together so you could completely understand. I understood your paper. Matter of fact, it's a great paper. Wrong assignment. What I'm trying to tell you is, You got a great house. You got a great car. You got a great business. Oh, your life looks wonderful. Wrong assignment. Wouldn't it be horrible if you spent the best part of your life building a vision that God didn't give you? And then at the end, he says, that's wonderful. Your life looks really nice. Did you ever get my phone calls? Because I was trying to call you to meet me here, but you never showed up. Because you were so busy building your life that you didn't know God is what? 1 John, God is what? Love. God is what? Love was calling you, but because you didn't recognize love, you didn't respond to love. Love was calling you. And because you didn't know that love was calling you, you end up pursuing something else. So we looked at Samson, and Samson spent a good portion of his life running after women, looking for love, getting his heart broken. Then at the end, what did he end up having? He ended up having no relationship anyway. And at the end of his life, he said what? Well, God, if you just give me this, just strength back, I'll end up doing your will anyway. One of the things we pointed out is, after all, you spending all your youth and pursuing all that you're pursuing and going after this person and going after that person, going after this and trying to please this person and trying to make this person happy at the end of your life, don't be like Samson and say, well, you know what? All of that was for nothing in the first place. Because it's about investment. So I want to talk about strength on tonight. So here we are, and we're in Judges chapter 16. And I want you to look at verse 5. And the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see where his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to what? To afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein is thy strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Where do we get our strength from? We get our strength from God, right? We get our strength from God. If a man gets his strength from God, then how does he lose it? Here is a woman. I want you to notice the text. Samson, one of the strongest men that have ever walked the earth. He's a strong man, and God is giving him his strength. Men go to his wife and say, entice him and find out where he gets his strength. Here is a woman who approaches a man and says, where is the source of your strength? He's never told anybody where his strength comes from. He's powerful. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can stop him. Nobody. He's with God. God is supplying him. But if God is supplying him, if he gets his strength from God, how does a man lose strength? That's a question. Some of you say, I don't know. Hold on. Brother, can you get the if you can raise your hand, anybody who raises their hand, I want everybody to make sure everybody here. Turn that on. If a man gets his strength from God, how does he lose strength?
He turns away from God and stops observing God's word and turns towards something else. He's distracted.
And the person behind you? Oh, same thing. Okay. Anyone? Oh, someone in the back.
Brother something in the back.
Women and pride.
Could you break that down, please?
Well, in this particular situation, it was a woman. He told his wife what his strength was, and she told it to them. So that was his downfall, and sharing that with her. With pride, sometimes we're so concentrated and full of ourselves that we forget who our creator is, who our provider is, who is our deliverer, our healer, our protector.
I would say our sins putting a wedge between our relationship with God.
Anyone else? We have someone.
Maybe that was not his greatest strength in the first place.
Say that part again.
Maybe that wasn't his greatest strength in the first place. Maybe that's not what God said that's his greatest strength. Maybe that was just a mustard seed of his strength.
That's a very good point. What she said was, maybe that wasn't where his strength was. Maybe it was just a mustard seed. Because even what he told, if you know the story, even what he told his wife, we know that all strength come from what? God, not hair. Right? So even though him not cutting his hair was him being obedient, but him having his hair cut was because of the relationship he was in. So God allowed his strength to be taken because of his romantic relationship.
I was going to say lack of faith.
Lack of faith can take strength. So let's look at those areas right quick. Strength is tied into confidence. When do you feel most confident? You come out of Bible study, you had a good week, you've been walking with the Lord, you feel strong. What takes your strength away? Somebody had mentioned sin. Every time you sin, you get a little weaker. Sin takes your strength away. In the case of Samson, the relationship he's in and the type of relationship he's in is taking his strength away. So now, the people he's supposed to be fighting, he's in love with one of their daughters. So now he can't fully focus on what God has him to do because he's giving part of his strength away to the women that he's after. So she goes to him and she tells him, tell me where your strength comes from. The first time she asks, he lies to her. So the Bible says this. The Bible says in verse 7, and Samson said unto her, if you bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs, and as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, you have what? Now, you know what I expected my baby to say? I expected Sister Delilah to say, hope she'd be a sister. Sister Delilah be able to say, baby, you beat them men up. Baby, you did a good job. I saw you break them whiffs, and you went out there, and you beat all them. You better come on here and get some cornbread. He defeated men who were trying to kill him, and the only thing she says is, you mocked me? Wait a minute. You don't see them dead men? I don't. I just defeated them. And the only thing that you can focus on is that, you know what? Hold on, let me think. I told you a lie. I woke up and found myself in the same situation that I gave you. And your feelings are hurt? Don't you want to talk about the relationship then? No, no, we need to sit down and talk. We're not good. She says in verse 10, you mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, where do your Midas be bound? And he said unto her, if you bind me fast with new ropes. It's all kind of problems in this relationship. They lying to each other, being with each other, whole kind of problems they having. He says, if you bind me with new ropes that were never occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes, bound him therewith. Another issue that I have, we don't have time to die. How are you so sleep? You don't feel nothing. And said unto the Philistines, be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber. The other question that I have is, how did they get in my bedroom twice? Like, twice? Lying in the chamber, and he break them off of his arms like a thread. Verse 13, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto you mocked me and told me lies. And then I realized something about what you're pursuing. You can be so focused on what you're pursuing that you don't see the signs that what you're pursuing is not good. Somebody says, I didn't see that before. You know why you didn't see that before? You were so focused on obtaining this that you made sure that nothing was going to prevent it on your way. So you ignored all of the signs. You ignored the signs that they were selfish. You ignored the signs that they were not kind. You ignored the signs that they constantly poked fun at you and talked about you and talked about your body or they talked about your family. And now you 10 years, 15, 20 years deep saying, I don't know why they don't get along with my family. When they were fighting your cousins in year one, you ignored all the signs and you called it horse playing. And now you deep in it and you realize, you know what? How could I have missed that? You know what you do? You do the same thing when you're trying to purchase something. The store knows that you're so focused on buying this that you're not reading the contract you're signing. You're so focused. You know the dangerous thing about a loan? You know the dangerous thing about a loan? When you're so hungry for the loan and you only focus on the money that you're getting, you don't read all of the strings that are connected to you signing. So you so focused on the thousands of dollars that they're about to pass over that what you're about to sign, they're literally finna enslave your soul. You're giving up your soul just so you can have a few thousand dollars and you didn't read. And you know why you didn't read? Because you're so focused on what you want that you ignore everything else. So when they tell you, hey, listen, I don't think she's your friend. Hey, you know what? I don't think he love you. I just don't. I mean, looking at how he just drove off and left you in the middle of the street, that's a sign. You know, that's a sign that He never mentions you. He never talks about. There are signs. There are signs. That time he pushed you down the stairs. I don't know what it means. To me, that looked like a sign. That's a sign that she never opens up to you. She's always hiding stuff from you. she's okay with you just going off and she don't really care where you are? Just guessing. There are signs that something is not wrong. How many of you ignore signs so that you can pretend that everything is okay? Somebody say, I dare not bring that up because then we'll get into an argument. So then I'm going to stay away from it. What you're saying is, I'm going to be blind to it so we can fake and be happy. We can fake like everything is okay. Didn't we have a wonderful time tonight? We went out to eat and we did this. And so to not argue, to not fight or not to deal with any, I'm going to close my eyes because you know what I want? I want peace. You are so in desire of having peace, you ignore problems to have it. The problem is that when the problems get so big, now you can't ignore it. What is he ignoring? Yeah, why am I lying to her? But how come every time I lie, men showing up in my bedroom? We got problems, y'all. We got some major problems that I'm wondering why multiple dudes, every time I wake up in my bedchamber with my wife, and every time I wake up, they got me bound and a bunch of dudes in the room, and my wife is screaming. I don't know about you. That looked like a sign to me. And that makes me feel uncomfortable of how they keep getting in. And why am I sleeping so hard? I want to do some sleep studies. I want to say, when did they come in? So, and why is she angry? Why is she angry? You know what this relationship, even if we don't read any further, this relationship is draining me. Because it's dysfunctional. But don't judge too quickly. Because if we all look deeply in some of our relationships with friends, family, cousins, relationship, whatever, we're all ignoring something that is dysfunctional. And if somebody had the opportunity to get close to you and look and say, you just going to ignore that? Okay, he just cussed you out. You're not, that's cool? Is that cool with you? Is that how you operate? That's not healthy. I'm guessing. Something's not healthy. She says, she's angry with him and says, why are you lying to me? It was Deacon Eddie Kane that said, two wrongs don't what? He wrong and she wrong. But for some reason, he's not addressing it. The Bible says in verse 13, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me, you told me lies. Tell me where thou mightest be bound. And he said, if you weavest the seven locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how can you say I? Ain't we talking about love? She said, I'm angry with you, Samson. Because I'm looking for love from you. But Delilah, your definition of love is wrong. So she put that love thing on him. If you love me, sometimes brothers do that to sisters. I mean, if you love me, don't people who love each other do this? Don't people who love each other have sex? Just in case y'all were wondering, dating and sex should never go together. That's what I read. I don't know if, I'll give you some time to study it. We'll come back next week. She says, if I love you, where's the love? Where is the love in this? The Bible says, you mocked me these times. And how can you tell me you love me? when thine heart is not with me? You mock me these three times, and you have not told me, where is your strength? Now, here's the dangerous thing about being with somebody who's not spiritual. Because, Delilah, if you were spiritual, you wouldn't even have to ask me where my strength come from. You'd have both know it come from the Lord. But because you're not connected to God, and you keep asking me, shouldn't it be at this time that Samson saw the pattern and said, yeah, we'll talk to that in about a minute. We got a problem with us. Because for some reason, every time I go to sleep, there's multiple men showing up. And you always the one warning me that there are a bunch of men and my enemies that are around. He's so blind. You know what I don't want to be? I don't want to be so hungry that I ignore that it is the devil's hand that is giving me the food. That I don't recognize that it is the devil's seasoning that's in that plate. And I'm so hungry to consume that I don't see that this is poisoning me. You're so hungry to be wanted and loved and cared for, or just to have people around. You're so hungry for money, or you're so hungry for possessions that you don't realize you're trading your soul for what you're pursuing. And you'll end up getting it. But what profit is it to gain the what? And lose your what? What profit is it just to have somebody? And you got the idea that you have somebody, but there's no love. I was talking to a gentleman on this past week, and he said, you know what, Brother Williams? He said, where I'm struggling is maybe I was so caught up in somebody giving me attention that I never stopped to wonder if I loved her. He said, I married her because she was the first woman that really gave me attention. No woman ever really showed me any attention before, and when she showed me attention, I jumped on it. So now I'm in a situation, she's not in the Lord, and we're having all these other issues, and I realize I got what I want now. But now that I realize what I have is not enough. Because I went and got it. And I didn't wait for God to bring it together. I was so hungry because I wanted to hold on to somebody who was going to show me attention. That now that I got the attention, I need more. And I don't know how to tell her. I need more from her. But maybe now I'm coming to the realization, maybe she doesn't have it to give. And now I'm trying to figure out what I need to do. Ain't that a horrible situation to be in? When you want something from somebody, we talked about this a few weeks ago, and they don't have it. And instead of you asking God, you were so focused, you signed for that cell phone. And you realize, isn't it a horrible thing if you sign up for a new plan and they tell you you got nights and weekends? Y'all remember that? And you look across the way and you realize you could have had unlimited minutes. And you got to get off the phone and say, hey, listen, it's Tuesday. This ain't the, I ain't got no more minutes. I got to get off the phone. You're taking up my minutes. What do you want? Email me what you, no, don't text. Cause that eat up some time too. The Bible says in verse 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him what? It's so good to study the Bible. Cause I see patterns. You don't have to be the one to have to go through. Somebody's already been through it. If you talk to Brother Samson at this point, he said, man, my wife is on my back daily. Maybe not with such intensity. She's on my back, man. She pressing me what? Daily. She keep trying to get this information out, and I don't want it. For some reason, he doesn't want to give it to her. But he's ignoring. She's wearing him down, sisters. I've said this before. You can wear a man down to the point where he can give it to you, but you won't have his heart. You can nag a man to death, and it's going to take Jesus to come and resurrect him because you didn't nag him to death just to get what you want. By the mouth, you can build your house up, and by your words, you can tear your house down. By your words, you can build a man up, and he'll walk around like he's feeling like Superman. He feel wonderful. Love talking to you. Or by your words, you can tear him down. There's a thing that I heard a few years ago called job wives. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Is it work wife? Thank you. The work wife. Work wife. It's the woman at work who takes care of the man while he at work. But as soon as it's 5 o'clock, then he go home to his. She tend to his knees and run errands and sometimes says the things that the wife at home doesn't say. It can work the opposite way as well. It's the man at work who opens up her doors and get up some coffee for work, and you need some more paper. You need some paper. You give her the paper that she need and sends the emails for and defends her at work to make sure nobody mess with her, because she may not be getting that at home, and you end up compensating. She's tearing him down. And she made him feel guilty that he didn't love her. Not realizing in this relationship, ain't it a horrible feeling when you wake up and you realize, wait a minute, I'm being used. Love is giving. So if you're waking up every morning losing, then this ain't love. If your cup is constantly empty, something is draining. For God so loved the world, he what? That's what love does. So if you connect with somebody, friends, family, work, whatever, with all your relationships, if everybody has the love of God in them, then what is everybody in the circle doing? I don't have a difficult time talking about God with my father. So when I talk to my father, we can go back and forth. We can talk about God. And where's the source of my strength? So God will use him to give me strength, because he'll put God is in his speech. And when God is in his speech, and then when we talk, have you ever finished talking with somebody and you feel better? Oh yeah, me and God, we're going to be all right. Thank you for that word. Have you ever talked to somebody and said, let this conversation end. I'm dying. This needs to be over with. And you want to hurry up and get off the phone, or you want to hurry up and move. Why? Because there's something about the conversation that's draining you. It doesn't give life. When you got two people who are selfish, they're constantly taking from each other. And I'm angry with you because of what you're not giving me. I need you to give me. I need this from you. How come? You're so. And I get angry with you because I need more from you. And it's a horrible thing, because if I'm disconnected from God, I end up taking more from you. And the stuff that God was supposed to give me, now I need that from you and more. And you can end up draining. Now, I'm not a fool to think that everybody in here is a giver. Somebody's a consumer, just by statistics. And I ain't even good at numbers. But just by statistics, somebody in here is a consumer. Some people can be givers in one type of relationship and your consumer in another. That's like everybody in here is not a hateful person. But you can be hateful in certain types of relationships. Someone says, I'm kind. Yeah, in the morning. We can have different seasons where you end up being selfish. You want it your way. You're controlling. You manipulate people. Well, fine then. If you ain't gonna do it, I ain't talking to you then. Anybody ever get a silent treatment? You ain't silent. Why? Because you're manipulating. Mm-mm. I'm not talking to you. Hey. Mm-mm. Why? Silent treatment is a form of manipulation. It's a way of punishment. I'm going to punish you because until you give me what I want, then I'll talk to you. A brother run around in his house crazy like, okay, what is it? Then what's moving the house? It ain't love. And whenever love is not moving the house, then games begin to take over. And I'm going to start playing games with you. Oh, so you want somebody to cook for you tonight? Is that what you want? Oh, okay. Sometimes brothers will do it. Okay. Can I have some? No, you want some money? Okay. I ain't got it, so. And if you got to physically do something, to get somebody to do what love is supposed to make you do naturally, there's a problem. And if you're not careful, you'll end up pimping yourself out for gifts. You'll end up doing things to get responses from people. So what she knows is every time I wear that dress, they act like this. So instead of a man giving me natural attention, I gotta physically do something to get it. And your whole relationship is just full of manipulation. And so what you end up doing is you end up trying to outdo all these other type of people, trying to be special in people's lives. And that ain't love. It's manipulation. Some people are in your life. You know why I keep going to the ATM? Come on. Guess why I keep going to the ATM? Because it gives me something. It provides a the moment it stops working, guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go to another ATM. And I'm gonna tell everybody, hey, that don't work, that one don't work. The moment that a man and a woman raises their standards and says, I'm gonna be holy, be prepared for people to go to other ATMs. But you need to be excited that you're not an ATM anymore. No, we're closed. Yeah, this is shut down. This is, no, we don't dispense anything. It has to be a mutual relationship. Matter of fact, you should not be an ATM, you should be a stock. When do you get money from a stock? Only until after you've invested. And you've invested, and then after you've invested, they tell you, you need to wait, and then the money will come. Be a stock, don't be an ATM. Have some value. And then if they're willing to wait, then guess what? You don't get into stocks thinking, hey, I'm going to put this money in today, but I'm going to need it by Thursday. I'm going to need this money. No, that's a different type of transaction and a different type of relationship. So she manipulates him. As we come to a close, I want you to see this. Verse 17, that he told her all his heart. In the relationship with Delilah, it is not until verse 17 that he actually becomes vulnerable with her. Because for some reason, Just because you sleep with somebody doesn't mean they're open to you. It doesn't mean they're available to you. You can close off from a person. And you can give them their body, but they don't have your heart. And even though he enjoyed being with Delilah, he never opened up spiritually to her about where his strength came from. The spiritual category in their relationship actually didn't happen until after intimacy. Don't let your Christianity be extremely important after I do. Your Christianity needs to be important before you say I do. Because here's what you communicate to God. God, that's not a deal breaker. Oh, he snore? Ah, we ain't gonna make it. He eat with his mouth open? Oh, nah, that's not. How he treat his mama? If he treat his mama wrong, then I ain't gonna be with him. But God, if he not with you, that's okay. And God is saying, why am I not a deal breaker? Wow, I'm not a deal breaker? Oh, his FICO score is a deal breaker. But I'm not a deal breaker. Do you know you communicate that God is not that important when you glaze over Christianity? It's not a big deal to you? Then don't make it a big deal later then and expect God to ascend down on your relationship, to descend, and then fill the whole house with Shekinah glory. Because obviously it wasn't a big deal. I was dismissible. My stock with you wasn't that good. It wasn't that great. Because that was one of the things you were okay with. I know I'm talking some hard things. But why were you okay with it? Why were you comfortable with it not even being? Matter of fact, you tell me you love me. How come I wasn't the first conversation? You talked about the weather before you talked about spirituality. You talked about each other's families before you even talked about me. How come I wasn't important? Why did you put me down the list? Why did you put income over me? Why did you put the relationship over me? And then on the day, invite me to come and witness it and want me to bless it. We got to see what we're doing. And even if this message is not for you, there's somebody that you know, especially we have friends that's in the body of Christ all over the country. And don't ever settle. And don't ever compromise. Very quickly, we'll come to a close. He told her all his heart. There have no razor come to mine head, for I am a Nazarite unto God. First time he mentions God to her in verse 17. From my mother's womb, if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now, right now, you have a great man. But if you touch that, then I become an average man. I want to tell you, Delilah was not interested in a spiritual man. Well, some people are not interested in the spiritual you. They love what Christ has done through you, and they want the benefits of Christ through you without them being with Christ also. I love how God has just got your attitude right. Oh, you were stinky before. I'm so glad. Oh, God has just molded you. Look at you now. God is in you. I love how God has preserved you, cleaned up your speech, made you walk with confidence. Some people are attracted to the God in you when there is no God in them. I like Bugattis. I'm attracted. Like if I see one, I say, ooh. I'm attracted to Bugattis. There's nothing about me that supports a Bugatti lifestyle. If you ask me, do I want to ride? Guess what my answer gonna be? Yeah. I don't want to pay for the service charge, the upkeep. For the cost of a Bugatti is the cost of a small apartment. I'm talking about the insurance. to put a Bugatti on your insurance is the cost of a small apartment. No, I don't. There's nothing about me that fits a Bugatti lifestyle. But I will compliment the Bugatti all day. Are you looking good? Oh, my God. And it would be dangerous for the Bugatti to be attracted to me when I can't support the lifestyle. Mess around with me, and your engine gonna start knocking because I can't afford the oil change that goes with the Bugatti. You mess with me, it's not going... There's some stuff that's gonna start because I don't have a garage that fits the Bugatti lifestyle. You're gonna be right under there underneath the shed. And you're saying, it's okay for me to like it, but I'm gonna have to change in order to be with it. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, people look at you and they see the Bugatti Christ in you. But you got to be careful because everybody can't support.
Come on now.
The Bugatti Christian lifestyle that you say you're trying to live, and you're going to find yourself outside on the street when you're supposed to be in the garage because they didn't really have any place to put you. And you end up trying to take care of yourself. What happened at the end? The Bible says, in verse 19, she made him sleep up upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his what? How did Samson lose his strength? Be careful of the relationships that you tie yourself to. Tying yourself to the wrong relationship will mess up your prayer life. You were supposed to pray tonight. Now you can't even pray right. You were supposed to run with, now you can't even do it because it's just, you didn't even realize you were drifting. Last scripture I want to take you to is Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll begin in verse 1. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Y'all see that? Verse 2, what, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? We'll conclude at verse 3. What does verse 3 says? This is the wisdom that a mother tells her son. Man, you got strength. You got strength in you. Don't you ever give your strength to a woman. And be careful of your ways to that which destroys kings. Be careful of your lifestyle and be careful of your relationships, because you'll end up giving your strength away. What God gave you personally, you can actually give away in relationships. And you don't realize that God actually supplied you with everything that you need, but you gave your strength away. There is probably a person in here right now, or there's a person that's in the world, that if they walked in here right now, they can come up to you and they from your past. I need to talk to you right now. I need to talk to you. And you're like, oh, y'all, excuse me. And you say, And maybe the people around you, you ain't got to go with that person. Stay right here. But they got a little bit of your strength. And anybody that you've ever given your strength to, they can talk to you like nobody else.
Watch it.
They can stand out. I need to talk to you. Pamela, go home. I need to talk to you right now. Man, why you finna go out there and talk to her? Because I gave her a little bit of my strength. So I gotta go talk to her. If a strange man or woman came to you right now and said, I need to talk to you, you better get out of my face. Where your confidence come? How are you so strong with a stranger? Because you still got your strength. But when you give your strength away, sometimes the people that you gave your strength can talk to you any kind of way and all kind of crazy, and you take it because you don't know how to get your strength back. Because once you give your strength away, all your exes can show up. Hey, we need to talk to you. What y'all doing here? And you out there screaming outside in the parking lot, and because you gave your strength away. And when you give your strength away, that means you were vulnerable, which means you share some things that they know that nobody else knows. So sometimes you go outside to talk to them because you don't know what they'll say or do. And so now you're trying to find a way to get your strength back. I could be just shooting that out in the dark. But if what I'm saying is true, church, say amen.
Amen.
And you know what I don't like seeing? I don't like seeing members of God's house being manipulated and being played and deceived and parking in driveways that don't support your lifestyle. Being drained and being taken places that God is not calling you to. Because you're trying to pursue something and get something that is actually beneath you. If we can see the patterns in the scripture, maybe we can help the next generation not be like Samson.
All right.
And we could tell the young ladies and the young men, baby, open your eyes and watch patterns. Be careful of your hunger inside, that your hunger shouldn't be so loud you can't hear God's voice. And as this mother told her son, don't give your strength away, baby.
Oh, Lord.
Because once you give your strength away, you don't have enough to complete the assignment God has for you because you gave it away. Now you're weak and you're wondering. Now you're asking God for more strength. And you know what God is saying? But I gave you enough strength. What did you do with it? And you know what you have to say? I gave it to them. I gave it over here. You haven't been a good steward of what I gave you? Don't teach God to give your strength to somebody else who will be responsible with it. Because now the assignment that I have for you, trust and believe, God will give your assignment to somebody else because he's tired of seeing you weak. But the only reason you're weak is because of who you choose to give your strength to. If you're here on this evening and you realize, you know what, I need to step back. I need to evaluate what's going on in my, you know what, I am weak. I find myself arguing. I find myself not being as strong as I need to be. Could it be because you're entertaining too many people and you're giving your strength away? Or maybe you're operating in something that you think is love when really it's manipulation. And you are playing games with one another, trying to experience love through the game. And you're saying, hey, listen, you can play video games all day long. You know you're not on the football team. You know that, right? I'm cold. You cold on the screen, but you know that you still ain't got no real jersey. And you sitting here trying to live you trying to experience the real thing through a game, through flirting and manipulation and talking a certain way and acting a certain way, trying to get a love response through games. Have you ever got old enough where you said, listen, I ain't in the mood for no games. So if you ain't got the real thing, then you can keep it. Because you get tired of what? The next game I play, I need a check from the NFL. it's gonna come with some type of benefit. You get to be able to see me on TV. That's the next game. Other than that, we ain't got time. Isn't it wonderful if we all had love in our heart that we don't even play games with one another? I ain't got to deceive you and trick you to be my brother and sister in Christ, that we can actually just be genuine with one another. If there's anything on your heart that you desire to pray for, listen, if you're going to get strength, some of you may say, you know, I've lost some strength and I need to pray for some more strength. But God, I'm not just praying for strength. I promise, God, I'm going to be a better steward of where I give my strength to. I realize I keep asking God for strength because I'm not actually using it right. He gave me a week full of gas, and I'm back at the gas station 2 days later because I'm running around town in unnecessary errands trying to catch people who don't want to be caught and don't know how to put five on the gas tank in the first place. If I do come and pick you up, you should be able to put something on it. If there's anything that you desire to repent of, or maybe you desire to have a closer relationship with Christ, I'm asking for you to come. This is praying time. This is an opportunity we all get to examine ourselves and say, God, I want to be better. Lord, I want to do better. I didn't come here just to hear a message, but I came here to internalize it. Stop listening to sermons for other people. Just focus on yourself. If there's anything that was said tonight that applies, that will help you to have richer and pure relationships, that will cause you to be focused, that will cause you to reserve yourself for the assignment of God, then do that. Ask yourself, what is God's assignment for my life? And I'm here to do that. Anything else is a distraction. And sometimes your prayer request is a distraction because what you want is outside of the will of God. It's time to get in line and do those things he's called us to do. The invitation is given to you as we get a stand.
Just as I am without.